Jesus, we thank you so much. We come, we adore you this morning. We worship you, Lord, for coming as that humble baby. Jesus, you humbled yourself so that we could have life. Jesus, we pray today, Lord, that even as we just open up the Bible for a little bit, I pray that you would speak, you would minister to our hearts and send us out with great joy today. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Why don't you go ahead, take your seats. Man, it's good to be together on Christmas. I'm so excited. For those of you who are new to our church, again, I just want to extend such a warm welcome to you again. We're so pleased you're with us here celebrating Christmas today. And those of you who are brand new to a church environment, we love to open up the Bible and just see what God's Word has to say to us in any given season. And we think Christmas is a pretty good time to open up the Bible together. So we're going to spend the next 20 minutes before I let you go and open some presents or have some good Christmas lunch, whatever you have planned. We're going to look at what the Bible has to say to us this morning. But before I jump into the Bible, can I celebrate something with you? 6 days ago, this little man arrived in our lives. Can we throw up on the screen? There we go. This is our new son, baby Noah. Is on the screen. My daughter is shouting on the front row, "Baby Noah!" Meg is doing great, and we're so happy. It's an amazing Christmas gift for us. And so I am now officially a dad of two. I've learned some things about being a multiple child home in 6 days. I think it was by day three, the McGowans were reaching out to me saying, "Hey, do you want us to have Evelyn over for a sleepover?" I was like, "Please, Lord, yes. Please." But it's amazing having two kids. We're so excited. And thank you all for praying for us. Those of you who have, super grateful for this community, those of you gathered around us. But it's been fun build up to Christmas already with Evelyn. We love singing lots of Christmas songs. I don't know how many of us are like big Christmas carol fans in the room. Okay, we like some carols. Okay. My mum, when I was growing up, my mum was one of those people who loves Christmas carols, but doesn't know many of the words to the songs. Were any of you willing to admit that you are the confident singers but don't know the lyrics? Any people? I'm seeing mums pointed to in the room. It's like you just start, it's like you enter a maze when you start the line. It's like, let me see if I can get through this, because I'm not confident I'm going to know the lyrics. And my mom starts out very excited, and then it's just either an amalgamation of noises, or you place some words in there that make no sense. But that was kind of, that was my upbringing. But Evelyn has, for those of you who are here on the 15th, we had our kids do a Christmas performance. And so we have, in December, jumped between Mary went to Bethlehem, Bethlehem, Bethlehem. Mary went to Bethlehem riding on a donkey. And the soundtrack to Mulan. Those two, the Disney film Mulan, those two songs have been drilled into my brain over these last few months, last few weeks. And we have been enjoying singing some good songs. But I was thinking about some of the lyrics to one of the Christmas carols that I want to show you as we just open up the Bible together briefly today. And it's found here in a song we just sang, "Joy to the World." It says, "Joy to the world." Let's just bring those lyrics back up. "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room." And so what I just want to talk about for a little bit this morning, as we're here celebrating Christmas, is the idea that let every heart prepare room for Jesus. What would it look like? I know that there's many of us here this morning. Some of us, you have a clear sense of faith and following Jesus. But maybe there's even areas of your heart where you say, "I need to make more room for Jesus." And maybe you're here this morning and you say, I don't really have a sense of belief in God. Or maybe I have... You call yourself agnostic. You're not sure what you believe. Maybe you once followed God, but you haven't in some time. And And my encouragement to us here on Christmas Day today is let every heart prepare room for Jesus. Because that's the beautiful thing about the Christmas story that I love, is that you have a whole group of people, very ordinary people in the Christmas story, who simply were willing to prepare room for Jesus. Let's think about the shepherds. These farmers are out there with their sheep, and they were willing to prepare room in their hearts for Jesus on that day. And they said, maybe there's something here. Let's go and respond to what's happening. Maybe it was Joseph, who in his skepticism, he was unsure about the whole situation, but Joseph prepared room for Jesus. Mary physically prepared room for Jesus. The wise men, in their intellect, they prepared room for the idea that Jesus might be coming. And so my encouragement to us today is, what if we were to prepare room for Jesus? As we celebrate Christmas today, but also as we think about the new year, what would it look like in your life if you just said, let me just set aside my preconceptions and ideas for a moment and say, what if I prepared a little bit of space in my heart for the possibility that there is a Jesus and that I should prepare room in me for him to speak to me and do something in me? And so when we prepare room for Jesus, there are so many byproducts, so many benefits of a relationship with Jesus: kindness, peace, eternity with God, all these different things. But I just want to talk about one of them this morning that feels relevant to us on Christmas Day. And it's this idea of, if we prepare room, God wants to bring us joy. And I want us to talk a little bit about the joy of the Christmas story, because there's these different verses I want to show you from the Christmas story that show us a little bit about the joy that we can find in Jesus. The first is Luke chapter 2, verse 10, when it says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.'" There was joy that was found in that moment. Let's go on to the next verse here, Taddy. It says, in Luke 2, 43 and 44, it says, "I feel blessed that the mother of my Lord," this is when Mary is visiting one of her relatives, Elizabeth. It says, "As soon as I heard your greeting, I felt the baby jump for joy. You're blessed by believing that the Lord would keep his promise to you." The next verse says this, in Luke 2, 46 to 48, Mary said, "My soul praises the Lord's greatness. My spirit finds its joy in God, my Savior, because he has looked favorably on me, his humble servant." And the last one here is in Matthew. And it says this, in Matthew 2, verse 10. It says, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. This is the wise men. It says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed on coming to the house. And so I just want to paint a picture that when Jesus shows up on the scene here in the Christmas story, there was a singular response that people had, and it was joy. That was the response to Jesus's arrival. And so I don't know what your experience of religion or church or whatever it is, and sometimes our experience is it's burdensome, it's rules and regulate, whatever. But the truth is, when Jesus showed up, people had a singular response, and it was joy. And I don't know about you, I could do with a bit more joy in my life going into next year. I could do with some more joy in my life going into next year. So I want to give you a 15-point presentation. I'm joking. I know you all want to leave. I only got 10 more minutes of your attention before you start thinking about your food. I get it. So I'm going to give you 3 points, 3 thoughts on why Jesus' arrival should cause great joy in your life. So let me show you. The first one is this, that Jesus is joyful. I've often reflected on Jesus' first miracle that we read about. I don't know, for those of you maybe new to faith, or never been around church before, this may surprise you. But the first miracle that Jesus does in his ministry is he is at a wedding with friends, and whilst he's with his friends, the wine all gets used up at the wedding, and everyone's having a merry time, and Jesus' mom comes to him and says, Jesus, they've run out of wine. And so Jesus, because he's very strict and boring, said, well, everyone must go home then. No, the opposite happens. Jesus says, well, that can't happen. Let's find some water, and I'm going to turn the water into wine. What's his first miracle? It's to keep the party going. There's something joyful about Jesus. We've already read it, that when people interacted with Jesus, it provoked joy in their life. There's something about who Jesus is that I believe should spark joy in our hearts. And I think even today, for some of us, this is a day when we can step into knowing a deeper joy, a sustainable joy. The thing about Jesus is we give Jesus our lack, and he exchanges it for joy. That's the beautiful thing. If we can just pull that verse back up, that Jesus' joyful slide there, Taddy. It says this in John 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, this is Jesus talking, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Jesus wants us to experience his joy, a deeper joy, a sustainable joy, something that goes beyond a festive period and really does something in our hearts. I want to show you the second thought that I had when it comes to joy and Jesus giving us joy, and it's this, that nothing unlocks joy like loving someone deeply and being deeply loved in return. Nothing unlocks joy like loving someone deeply and being loved deeply in return. Those of us who have experienced love in our life will know this. I just said, I'm now a dad of two. I deeply, deeply love my kids now. I get to say that, that's fun. And man, she's in the room. She's the absolute best. Evelyn is here going up to everyone, shouting about her brother and twirling around in her dress. I deeply love her. And let me tell you, last night, I was telling her what we were doing on Christmas Day, and she was a little bit tired. So I'm just creating caveats for her. And she turned around to me and she said, Dad, go in the bin. I was like, my toddler's telling me to go in the bin. That's how much she appreciates me right now. I was like, Evelyn, I'm trying to give you a good, I'm telling you, you're getting presents tomorrow, and you're telling me to go in the bin. Or she's like in her throwing era. So any food that I've just made for her that she's not 100% sure about gets launched at me or the dog, you know. It's like, and there's times, I'll be honest with you, there's times when it gets to about 5 p.m. and there's this story in the Bible where Joshua prayed and the sun stood still in the sky. I pray the opposite prayer sometimes. I'm like, Lord, if you can speed this sun up today and get me to bedtime so I can put this girl down, I would appreciate it. My love is limited. I have a limited capacity to love. But the thing about our God that we serve, his love is so endless, so unlimited, so unconditional. It says this in 1 John 4, verse 16. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. There's something about this love that releases joy in our hearts. I believe that was my daughter. Apologies, everyone. Shout out to our kids team. Come on. So there's something about this love that releases something powerful. I want to give you the third thought that I had about the joy that Jesus wants to release in our hearts today. And it's this idea. Why can we receive joy? It's because Jesus endured the cross. Now you say to me, Josh, wrong holiday. We're Christmas, not Easter. I get it, I know. But there's something about Jesus that the reason we can find so much joy in him is because of the work that he did for us. I just want to show you this verse in Hebrews. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What was that joy? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you today, it was you. That when Jesus was there on the cross, He was thinking about you and me. He was thinking about us. And he knew that if his love being poured out by being on the cross, making the sacrifice for our sins, that if he could be there, that you and I could be in right relationship with God, that we could be close to God, that we could find joy and peace and life in God. That released joy in him, and it in turn releases joy in us. And so my prayer for you today, as you celebrate Christmas today, as you go about doing whatever you're doing, being with friends or family, being here in church, getting to celebrate, having some food or giving out presents, my prayer is that you would experience and know the joy of Jesus. And that joy comes from three things. That joy comes because we exchange our lack for his joy. That joy comes because we are deeply loved by him. And finally, that joy comes because you were the joy set before him, that it releases a joy in us. And so I'm going to pray for us. We're going to head out soon. We've got a cookie for you that we'd love to give you as a little gift here on Christmas. We're going to spend a bit of time together if you'd like to. You're also welcome to shoot off. But before we do, I just want us to pause and pray together on this Christmas. Because this invitation that I believe Jesus wants to give to us today is this. Prepare room for him. Prepare room for him. Maybe you're here today and you would call yourself a Christian. You've been following Jesus. But you know that if you look back at 2024, you've probably squeezed out some of that time that you wish you'd had with Jesus because of busyness of life, because of other priorities. And my encouragement to you as we come towards the end of this year and we celebrate Christmas today is prepare room for him. Where is it that you need to in your hearts prepare room for him? Maybe you're here today, and you'd say, I've never followed Jesus before. I've never called myself a Christian. I've never walked with God. But as I'm here today, and maybe over a journey you've been on, you feel the tug in your heart that you need to prepare room for Jesus, and you need to say yes to him today, to a relationship with God where you ask for the forgiveness of your sins and Jesus cleanses your conscience. Or maybe you walked away from him. You once followed him and you know you've got to come back into relationship with him. Let me tell you, there's no better day than Christmas to do that. So I'd love us to pray together. If you close your eyes with me, I'm going to pray for us. And I'm going to pray a prayer. And it's a prayer of saying, yes, I want to choose to follow Jesus, or I want to choose to come back to Jesus. I want to prepare room in my heart for him. And in doing so, he wants to pour out his love, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness into your life, his joy into your life. You've searched in a lot of different directions for hope, and it's not been sustainable. But Jesus is here today, and he wants to give hope to us. So I'm going to pray a prayer. And as I pray it, I'd love you to repeat the words after me if you today want to either come back to Jesus or follow him for the first time. So I'm going to pray this. You repeat it in your heart, in your mind. You don't need to pray it out loud. You just pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for the things that I've done that have distanced me from you. Today, I'm choosing to come back to you. I give you my life. I believe that you died and rose again so that I could have a life. I give you my life today, Jesus. Use it for your glory, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.